Today, we're talking about strengthening ourselves in the Lord. Last week, we had an amazing time. Just think about the Holy Spirit, thinking about Him breaking out in our homes. And today, I want to continue on with this because I believe over the next few weeks, God wants to speak directly into our hearts so that we would strengthen ourselves in ways that we've never seen before. I mean, where the Holy Spirit would come and He would help us and He would teach us and He would mature us and He would grow us for this time and for this season. Because I'm a firm believer, God is in the details, and we were born for such a time as this. So I want us to pray this morning as we come around the Word, challenge our hearts, believe that the Holy Spirit will speak to us mightily, and if you don't know Jesus, that you will give your life to Him. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for everybody that's watching. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to speak into people's lives. And I pray, Holy Spirit, we may not be together physically, but You are with us, and I ask You to move radically in Jesus' name. Amen. So guys, today I want to talk about leaning or learning to strengthen ourselves in God. And I want to start off with a couple of things first, which is courage and faith. Because I believe as we are stepping further and further into this new normal, where everything's changing and everything's adjusting, then the two big things that we need to be mindful of is courage and faith. The courage to say, I'm going to continue to step out. I'm going to meet God in new ways. I'm going to step into the new changes that are in front of me. I'm going to find God in those. I'm going to make adjustments. But inside of that courage, we also have to allow ourselves to be vulnerable. Because here's the thing, here's what I find and what God's just been showing me over this last few weeks as I've been reading and praying, is that you can't be courageous without being vulnerable. In the sense, every time that you're courageous, the chances are you're pioneering. The chances are you're stepping into the unknown. You're making yourself vulnerable. You're putting your reputation on the line. You're setting yourself up that this may not work and I may look stupid, or I could be a failure, or this could fail. But I want to encourage you today that vulnerability and courage go hand in hand. And as we say to ourselves, you know what? I'm going to be okay with failing because it's on my path to succeeding. I'm going to be okay with stepping out, even though it's the unknown, even though it might risk some things. Because in this season, it's a brilliant time to change because everything else is changing. So I want to change too. So I'm encouraging you, be courageous. Be courageous as you step into greater faith with God. Be courageous as you pray differently, read differently, worship differently, and go after the things of God in ways that you've never done before. And then, of course, faith. Because we know everything that we have, we've received it by faith. The Bible tells us without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But with faith, we can do all things. So we've got to be courageous, and attached to that is vulnerability. So we've got to be okay that things may not work out perfect the first time or the 10th time, as I've found out many times. But be assured, God is still for you and He loves you. So we need courage and we need faith. And I truly believe we need men and women, boys and girls, of faith today. We need people that's going to step up and just say, right, there's this a new day, there's a new season. I'm willing to step into it courageously and I'm willing to have faith. In fact, I'm going to put my whole trust, I'm going to put my whole faith in God. And I believe, like never before, people are asking questions that they've never asked before. They're wondering about God, they're praying, they're Googling prayer, they're thinking about the things of God, and they're asking bigger questions like they've never done, maybe ever, or they've never done for a long time. So we've got to be people that are courageous and also faithful. We are men and women full of faith. Last week, we talked about the Holy Spirit, and we said we want Him to come into our homes, and I'm believing for more of it. We said that 39 times He came in people's homes. He just was poured out in people's homes in the book of Acts, and we saw signs, wonders, miracles. He was poured out just outside of people's homes. He was just connected all with the home, all the places where you lived. But then only 18 times was He connected with the church building or a physical building, which we're not despising that, but what we're doing in these days is encouraging our hearts to say the Holy Spirit isn't on hold. He wants to meet you at home today. We believe it happened last week. We're believing that it happened all this week. And we're believing that there's an outpouring of the Spirit coming, just like He did in Acts chapter 2, that He would do in these days. Because here's why. God is coming back. Jesus is coming back again. And when He does, He's coming back for a beautiful bride, which is men and women that are saved, boys and girls that know Jesus. And unless the Holy Spirit moves, I don't think we're going to be able to achieve it, because we need His power. We need His sustaining. We need His help. So we're praying, Holy Spirit, would You come afresh in our hearts? Would You be poured out afresh in our homes like never before? Because we want to see a move of God, because we're believing for incredible things in the kingdom. God wants to equip us today. And as I was praying over this last few weeks, and I was talking to different leaders and different friends, I kept coming back to Ephesians 4. I'll remind you of it this morning just to bring it to your attention. Ephesians 4 sets out, where Paul sets out, and he says there's five groups in the church that we want to see active. The apostle, the prophet, the teacher, the evangelist, the pastor. We want them all to be effective. But their job and their primary job is to raise up the body. And I believe like never before, this is what needs to happen. I feel like God is not satisfied that as we would step into these new days, that things would stay the same as they did before. You know that way where you kind of just went along the church, or you kind of just did your thing, but it was low profile, and you kind of wanted more, but you know, you maybe didn't feel ready or qualified or called, and maybe you were still being gripped with fear. But it was okay, because there was other people, ones and twos, twos and threes, that would lead you, and they would guide you, and they would help you. But the Bible talks about this, and I want us to read it this morning, not to discourage you, and not to condemn you, but to give you hope that God has a better plan, and it is not what He has intended. And I believe in these days, we need a fully healthy and strong church body, because the church building is no longer strong. It's redundant. It is not needed at this time, and it may not be needed for a long time to come. But what we need more than ever is our church body. It's me and you. It's us as Christians to come together and be strong, to be healthy, to be courageous, to be faithful, and to know who we are. Not perfect, because only Jesus was perfect, but who are confident in the things of God, because we've grown, we've committed, we've put the time in, and we've seen fruit, and God is causing much fruit to grow in our hearts. That's what I believe God wants to do in this season. So can we read Ephesians 4, 12 to 16? Again, encourage you, get your Bibles, get your notebooks, you got to write, because during the week, you're going to write that in your heart. And when you're unsure of things, you'll go to that notebook, or you go to the notes in your phone, and you'll read things that will stir your heart and strengthen your heart in difficult times and in difficult seasons. So Ephesians 4, verse 12, this is the heart of God, to equip His people for the works of service. So we have work to do, there's a service to do, so that the body of Christ may be built up. So that's not a freaky thing, it's not God, Jesus' body or somewhere else. We are His body. We are His people. And God uses that metaphor to show us the connection that we should have, to show that we are just completely connected in the same way as every part of your body is connected. There's no separation. There's never meant to be any separation. And it's supposed to work as one. This is God's idea. This is His dream. This is what He so desires. I believe that that's what God wants today, that His body will be strong and complete, not limp in some areas, not separated in some areas, not non-functioning in some areas, but fully functioning, fully alive, fully empowered, and mature in the things of God. So it says in verse 13, until we reach unity in the faith. You see, God wants us to know more. He wants us to be united in our faith, and know what's possible in the things of God, and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and to become mature. I mean, imagine that. He wants us to become mature, which might mean we might have to leave behind some immature things. But God says, I have called you to be mature, attaining to the whole measure. And this line is incredible. God wants us to attain to the whole measure, to the fullness, or the fullness of Christ Jesus. Imagine that we would know His fullness, that we would know His body, but we, in terms of each other, but we'd also know Jesus in all of His fullness, so that His fullness could reside in us. Then we will no longer be infants, because there is that stage, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by cunning and craftiness of people in deceitful scheming. Now, I know you know this, but there are some people out there that may even call themselves Christ followers, that may even call themselves people that believe in God, but their goal is to separate, to divide, to gossip, to conquer. They're against unity. Now, they may not say that, but their actions lead to that, and they need to repent and turn around. We might have found ourselves at times doing that. I know I've been there, and I've had to repent, and I have to continuously do that, because that old nature inside of us sometimes wants to trip us up and lead us down. Oh, that'd be good. This, and I got to say no, because I'm moving from an infant to a mature adult, to a mature son and a mature daughter. This is God's destiny for your life. He doesn't want you pulled and tossed by every wind. He doesn't want you confused. He doesn't want you in confusion of this and that and pulled apart. No, he doesn't want you isolated and confused. He wants you to be together with the body and full of his fullness, complete in other words. Verse 15, instead, speaking the truth in love, we grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. He wants us to come together, be together, and become this strong, mature body who's there for each other, encouraging each other, never separated, always together, always caring, always loving. And as we read, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, right at the end of that chapter, he will add to our number every day. Because if we steward well what we have, God always gives us more. That's a biblical principle, and God always answers that promise. Verse 16, from him the whole body, and I love this portion, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Imagine that. We're supporting each other. We're growing together. We're building ourselves up in love. This is not a fear thing. We're building each other up in love. And each of us are doing our work. You know what I mean? Each of us. When I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about this incredible picture. Now, I'm missing a bit of sport, I have to be honest. I'm missing sport. I'm missing one of the best football teams that has ever played the game, the Gunners. You know it. I'm missing them. Only joking, I wish they were better. They used to be a lot better. They need to get better. But I'm missing football. But I tell you what I really love, even a team that I hate. When I see a team that have progressed through the early rounds, come to the final or got to the latter stages of a competition, and they're fully trained, you know, they're fully together, they're working together as a team, and you start to see them playing football, like, which is just, you can only do, like, the best football is when everybody's working and being their best. It's not when one or two are doing a great thing. It's when everybody's working as a unit, and it's just this oneness. And so even though you see a team of individuals, you just see this one big, like, kind of body, and they work together, and it's just incredible to see. That is the picture that God is showing us. That's the picture that God wants us to see. That individually, of course, we can do a few things, but together, when we're united and we're healthy and strong, we are unstoppable. That's the church that we need in these days. Amen? That is the church that we need, because we find ourselves with an unstoppable virus, it seems, although we're praying and we're going to cancel that in Jesus' name. What about an unstoppable church that would rise up in spite of what's going on, that would rise up in spite of the challenges of not being able to meet together physically, even though there's a virus going on, even though there's doubts and insecurity and security and, you know, health and strength and all those things are in the balance. Regardless of all of that, we would rise up as an unstoppable body that would see the world transformed for Jesus. I believe that's what God's after, and I believe that's what God has put inside of us, and through the Holy Spirit, this is who we are becoming. We just have to let him do his work. We simply have to be obedient. We simply have to let go of some of our old lifestyle and some of our old ways of thinking and not resist any longer, and allow that love to flood through our hearts. And as we seek him, we'll find him, and as we find him, he will mature us and grow us. Amen? That is the heart of God. So, guys, if we don't do that, here's the fallout. The fallout is we'll have one person leading or on fire, and that's not God's dream. Now, God wants ones on fire, but he doesn't want just one. He wants everybody going after this thing and being strong and healthy. And so I wrote down three quick keys, three quick things that's going to happen when we follow after God's plan and we really become that strong unit and we really become that incredible body as one with Christ as the head. We all need to become equipped and lead ourselves better. This is what I believe God's heart is. He wants us to become more equipped and lead ourselves better. Why? So that we're not just waiting on a sermon every Sunday or not just reading a devotional every day and that's where we get our sustenance. No, because if those things were cut off, we would be at sea. We would be at sea. And I believe that God's saying that maybe you find yourself at this time when you haven't had the physical meetings and you haven't had the physical gatherings, that maybe you find yourself at sea. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as you realize you can change that. And as long as you realize that that's something that you can improve, that's something you can get around, and God has better in store for us. Because he doesn't want us just led by one sermon to the next. He wants us to get well equipped in his presence. So no matter what would change, we have this constant, intimate relationship with the Father, where we are one, regardless of where we find ourselves, regardless of what's going on the outside, something incredible is taking place on the inside, and it's affecting the outside. We're affecting the outside, not the other way around. What else do we need to become? We need to become active. The whole body, remember, this is for the whole body, not just a few. We need to become active in serving Him. Now, what do you mean by that? We need to become active in serving Him. In the sense of, a lot of us support, but we're not fully serving. What I mean is, we're supporting in prayer, and we're supporting, like, you know, I'm wishing you well, and I'm praying for you, and I want you to do it. But really, inside of our hearts, we're thinking, I'd really love to do something like that as well, but I don't feel qualified, or I don't feel called, or I don't feel equipped enough. I believe God's saying in these days, out of your equipping, you're going to be able to become a supporter, not just a supporter, but you're going to become someone who really serves and gets right involved and becomes right involved. And when this lockdown is over, and we believe it's going to be soon, then you're straight into something in a way that you've never done before, because you're feeling equipped and you've been called and you're feeling strong because God's been doing a deep work in your heart. And then the last quick thing, we all need to become full in Jesus. You know that fullness? To become full in Him, so our knowledge grows and we become mature. When those three things start to happen, watch how the body starts to get stronger and stronger and stronger. And instead of individual wants, instead of one person this and one person that, suddenly we become this unstoppable army for God, and we become this unstoppable church, the church that He's always dreamt of, the church that was there in the early days. We can become it now in the latter days. That is God's heart. Let's do it. Let's go for it. And let's believe in faith this morning. God's plan is to see everyone rise up in all His fullness and do incredible things. So as we think about that, I want to give you a picture. And as I was preparing for this, and I was thinking about, God, how do we really get our heads around this working together and being united together and being there for each other? I started to think about the Californian redwoods. I don't know if you've seen them before. Now, I've been in the West Coast once of America. I didn't actually get to see them, but I heard about them. I've looked them up. These trees are incredible. They can grow to over 300 feet tall. Now, 300 feet, that's a lot of feet. I think you should step out 300 feet in the garden and you should see how big. That is humongous. These things can grow for thousands of years, and their diameter is somewhere in a range of 25 to 30 feet. They are incredible. But there's one stunning feature about these trees, if that wasn't enough, if that wasn't big enough, there is one stunning feature about these trees, is that their roots are really shallow. Now, this makes no sense, because they're right on the West Coast, the storms are there, the sea's there, the winds come off the sea, the storms come off the sea, there's a lot of things to get them. Especially, you know, if a tree has shallow roots, and we've seen it around our country because we get windy winters, we see it, trees just get knocked down. But for some reason, these trees are growing straight and true. They're growing wide in diameter, but they're also getting to hundreds of feet. How on earth are they doing it? I want us to look at the incredible creation of these redwoods, because I believe God wants to show us something out of this for our own lives as Christians today. So what's going on with their roots? Well, the key to their success is not over the ground. It's not what you see on the outside, although that's really impressive. It's actually what's going on under the ground, which reminds me of King David. We're going to look at King David near the end of our message today. But he was a guy that God described as, he was a man after my whole heart. Now, David did incredible things. He killed the lion and the bear. He killed Goliath. He was king. But the biggest thing that God comes out of it, or that speaks out of it, or the biggest thing that gets God, is his heart for Him. It's like, not all the wonderful things he's done, although that's great, but it's his heart towards Him. It's his devotion towards Him. Not because God needs it, but because he knows when our hearts are fixed towards him, suddenly we will do things like you never believed. Suddenly we'll be able to achieve all the dreams. We'll be able to go after all the things that God's called us to and ordained us to do. Without David's heart being towards the king, as in God king, then he would never have become earth king. He would have never become all that God had called him to, because he was a man after God's own heart. And here's what's interesting about it. God says, I'm much more impressed of what's going on in the inside of you than I am what I see on the outside, which is completely contrary to everybody else, because it's very hard for us to see the inside. What we do is we see the outside. Now, a lot of the times the outside tells us the inside, but if you're really good and you're really practiced and you're doing really well and you've committed long, then you're outside could be stunning, but inside you could be broken. But here's the lesson we're going to learn from the Redwoods that we need to learn for ourselves. The secret to their success is not what you see on the outside. In fact, the reason why they're successful on the outside is because of what's going on inside, or in their case, what's going on under the grind. Let me tell you what's going under the grind. It's different than you think. They have roots, but the first thing that they do, which is very different to other trees and other plants, and you'll know it if you're a bit of a gardener, they grow very closely together. Now, these trees are enormous. Remember, 30 feet in diameter, they're hundreds of feet tall, but they try to grow as close as possible together. That's strange, but there's a purpose for it. And the reason for it is because when they've got shallow roots, there's no fear of them needing a lot of room for their roots, because actually what they do is they intertwine their roots. They don't need long roots. In fact, the roots are somewhere between 6 to 10 feet. Imagine a 300-foot tree, 6 to 10 feet roots. Makes no sense. Wind should easily pop that over. But what they do is they intertwine their roots. They create this incredible web underneath the surface. And so when the wind comes and the storms come, what should happen naturally is they should all just one by one fall over. Now, instead of you defeating one, you have to defeat every single one of them. So now, instead of being one tree strong, they're like thousands of trees strong. Like, you'd literally have to rip the earth apart to get these things down. They cannot be moved because their root system is not deep and wide. It's shallow, but it intertwines and they're all connected together. What is that a picture of? Today, I want to use this picture to encourage your heart. That is what God has planned for us as believers. If we try to stand alone, we fall too easily. If we stand alone, we fall. But when we stand together and we get intertwined with each other, although that feels weird, although that doesn't feel natural, remember, we're not of this world. We are born again. We're from heaven above. So we go by what God says, not what man says. We're supposed to be a body. We're supposed to be connected. In fact, we should, because it would lead us to better success in life, because we're connected, just as that tree does. If it doesn't stay connected, it falls over easily. Let me tell you another quick thing they share. I know, sometimes we're not very good at sharing. Sometimes we're bad at sharing. Maybe this lockdown has revealed that you're not a good sharer. But I was thinking about sharing, and I was thinking, yeah, I'm not a bad sharer, but I tell you what gets me with being a sharer is if the person on the other side loves to share, but they love to take. You know what I mean? Like that sharer who takes way more than they should. It's like, you know, we've got 20 sweets, but they take 19 and leave you one. I mean, I love sharing, but that's not really that fair. Come on, let's be generous. But sharing is an important thing, and we've got to share. And this is a concept that God wants us to know. And I know in our lives we don't like to share too much, not because we're bad people or we're evil, but because we feel, well, I need this for myself, or I need to keep this for me. But what we need to realize is that God supplies all of our needs, and we would help ourselves better by sharing. Guess what the trees do? They share. We gotta be like these trees. They share, and they share all their nutrients together. Now imagine this, a big, enormous tree. It's gonna sap up everything it can find from miles around. Like, you know, literally it's gonna take whatever. But because the root system is short, because the root system is intertwined, then one tree can't dominate the rest. They all have to share together. It's this incredible picture that even if one wanted to, they couldn't, because they're not designed like that. They're not made like that. They don't have the feature to do that. It's exactly the same for us. The only reason we do it is because we resurrect that old man. We resurrect that old self, and we say, you know what? I want to bring the old self and become selfish again. But what I need to do is become selfless. I need to remind myself of who I am. I'm like Jesus, the one who laid his life down. I'm like Jesus, the one who left everything to give it to you. The one that says it's better to give than receive. And honestly, guys, for us to know this will transform and change our lives. To know it in theory is great, but to know it in practice will really make a difference to not only us, but to the people around us. We've got to know how to share. We've got to be interlinked. We've got to be intertwined. It's incredible. And what I learned from these trees is that they just can't exist on their own. They can't do it. They are not designed to exist on their own. In fact, they can only exist together. Now, what does that sound like? That sounds exactly like us. Although we are God's image, we're even better than this. We are made in the image of God. We are the body of Christ. So for us, just like those trees, to ever try to exist alone is madness. We could never do it. It shouldn't even be us and God. It's got to be together. We need to be together. We need to be intertwined. We need to share our resources. We need to rely on each other. We need to trust each other. We need to be there for each other. Because when we do that, we actually all get stronger. Now imagine this. What you see on the surface is the trees, and it looks like they're all competing together, but in actual fact, the reason why they're so strong and so tall is because there's perfect harmony below the surface. Could you imagine a church? Could you imagine us as a church? Could you imagine if everything just became perfect harmony below the surface? Wouldn't that be amazing? That is what God has called us to, and through Christ, we can do all things. Through him, if we would surrender some of our old habits, if we would let go some of our desires, if we would give up some of the things we want to keep, if we would just tell ourselves and remind ourselves and let ourselves realize who we truly are, that we cannot do this alone, that we were only ever made to be together. See, the reason why we want to do it alone is not because we necessarily like being alone, it's because we've been hurt. It's because we've been let down. But guys, if we don't get courageous again, if we don't get vulnerable again with the right people, then we're never going to move forward. And we're going to live in a place of where it maybe feels a bit safe, but ultimately we feel alone and rejected. And we're not satisfied. And we're not happy. Because just like a redwood, they cannot grow alone. They cannot survive alone. They must be together. They are designed to flourish together. Apart, they will feel. Can I tell you, apart you will feel. You are designed to be together. And you can be together with others, but to be together with the body of Christ is your natural place. It is the place that God has called you to. What is God trying to show us? What is God maybe trying to show you today? What's he trying to reveal in your heart? I know we're all a work in progress. There's always things that are changing and transforming in our lives. But I'm urging us in this time, like Ephesians 4 tells us, God wants to equip his body. He has called you saints. I mean, imagine that. He knows you're not perfect, but he calls you saints because he speaks life into you rather than speaking reality into you. Because the reality is you're a sinner. But the truth is God has transformed you and now you're a saint. And you are a servant of the King. You're a son. You're a daughter. You're doing incredible things. And God is calling you forward. So what are we going to do with this knowledge? I encourage you, surrender before him. Repent before him and say, God, how can I take another step closer to becoming united with your body? Because that's where you've called me to be. How has God planned for us to change this world? How has God planned? Think about this for a moment. How has God planned for us to have such a huge impact? How could it ever be possible? It can only be possible when we start to intertwine together. When we start to intertwine not only together, but also when we give Jesus his rightful place in our lives. When we start to make him Lord of our lives. When we start to surrender all to him. And we say, God, I'll give you my first. I'll give you my best. I'll give you my all. Jesus, I want to be led by you. Jesus, I love you. I worship you. I give you my whole heart. I give you all of my desires. In fact, Lord, if there's any desires in me that are not from you, would you change them? Lord, will you change my desires in the natural? Because I want them to line up with your heart and with your spirit. When we do that, we can change the world. Because when we become united, we become unstoppable. That is God's dream. And that's what I'm urging us to think about over these next few weeks. I want us to talk about getting stronger. I want us to talk about getting stronger, but not just individually. This is not going to work if we're just going to continue to be individuals with God. That's great, but we've got to be preparing to be individuals together. And then suddenly we become family. Because each one of those trees is unique. Each one of those trees is themselves. Each one of those trees is an individual tree. But together, they are this unstoppable force. They're this unstoppable army of trees. They're a crazy forest. And God's saying for us today, together, we can be unstoppable. We can still be unique. You can still fulfill all your calling, God. But unless we work together, we will never thrive. We will never fulfill all that God's called us to. And ultimately, we will fail because we were built and designed to intertwine and to be connected to the source and have Jesus as Lord of our lives. Amen? So over these next few weeks, that's what we're going to look at. Getting stronger in him, getting stronger together, getting stronger individually. So when we come back as one body, as one team in a physical place again, we are ready to go. Okay, I want to finish off with a final thought today, which is really the thought to bring us into this kind of few weeks of where we're going to look at getting stronger with God. And we read it right at the beginning, but it's this idea of I want to get stronger and I want to learn to strengthen myself in God. I believe that this is a fundamental principle and this is a fundamental characteristic that God needs us to get for us to really become those strong true Christians that he's designed us to be. We have to know how to strengthen ourselves, because if we're always relying on someone else or somebody else to strengthen us, then we're going to find ourselves vulnerable. And it's in those vulnerable moments where the enemy can come and he can wipe us out and he can take us away from our faith. And unfortunately, what you'll find, and maybe you find in your life, sometimes it can be too late. When we find it out, it can be too late. So we've got to preempt it and we've got to prepare for it. And my encouragement today is, let's learn how to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Because if we learn to strengthen ourselves in the Lord, then suddenly we come together, we are unstoppable. I don't want to come together and have to rely on this person for every part of my strength. Now, I want us to work together. I want us to be together in all things. I want us to fellowship together. I want us to share together. I want us to share our needs together. But I don't want to be dependent on that person. I want to be dependent on God, because he is my source. And then together we are dependent on him, but together we are this body. We're sustained by him, healthy and strong in our own right, but together unstoppable. This is God's dream. So how are we going to strengthen ourselves in God? And I want us to look at the story of King David. And I'll remind you of today, it would take too long to go through it. It's books upon books, but David is an incredible character from the Old Testament, and he's still speaking volumes today. But David, if you remember back, was this young shepherd boy, 16, 17, looking after his father's sheep. And eventually one day, it says that a lion came along and he killed the lion. And then it says a bear came along and he killed the bear. It said that he would write songs and he would worship God. And then one day, somebody comes to their house and says, there's a giant. We need your help. We've got to kill this giant. And David goes and he kills the giant. And so that's part of his fame. And look, there's loads more to the story. But eventually where he finds himself is that God anoints him. God says, you're going to be the next king. King Saul's on the throne at the moment. And things are looking really good for David until he gets to a point in his life where people start to love him, but the king starts to get jealous. And the king, who was God's anointed, finds himself in a position where he feels threatened. He feels that David's after his job. He feels that he's not God's man anymore. And eventually the Bible tells us that he gets so consumed with jealousy and bitterness that eventually the Spirit of God leaves Saul. And he finds himself no longer as God's man, but his own man. And it gets to a point where he should have been bringing up King David, and he should have been bringing up David in his ways and mentoring him, encouraging him. He gets so bitter and twisted. He gets so jealous of David that he actually starts to threaten his life. And David has to go on the run. And eventually David finds himself in a place called Ziklag. Now Ziklag has a cool name. It's a really cool name. But it was in the enemy's camp. It's in the Philistines' camp. And if you remember the story of David and Goliath, he killed the Philistine, Goliath. And now he finds himself taking refuge in the enemy's camp, because God's man, who was King Saul, has now turned his back on God, and he's turned his back on the things of God, and he's become bitter, confused, jealous, and he's become fully consumed with his own self-importance. Guys, can I encourage you? Don't get distracted by ourselves. Don't get distracted by what's going on the outside, but get more concerned of what's going on the inside. See, the heart of David was this, that he was more concerned with the things of God than he was with any other concerns. He was more concerned with worshiping God, praising God, getting alone with God than he was about fame or fortune. That wasn't his thing. He loved the heart of God, and that's why we still remember him as a man after God's own heart. He loved God's heart. He wasn't so much interested in anything else. So eventually David gets himself to Ziklag, and it's a place of refuge, but it's also a place of rejection. And to bring you up to speed with the story, now David's much older, he's getting prepared for the throne, the throne is much closer, even though God ordained him years ago, it's now 10, 12 years later, and there could be doubts in his head, but he's trusting God and he's keeping focus with God. But what he's amassed is a motley crew. He's got an army with him. It's like a body, like we were talking about earlier. And he's taken this bunch of rejects, including himself, and they've strengthened themselves in the things of God, and now they're this unstoppable force, and they win victory after victory after victory, and it feels like they're unstoppable. But then a day comes where they taste defeat. And this is why we need to know how to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Because it's not for the good times, it's for the difficult times. What's going to happen when you taste defeat in your life? What's going to happen when a storm comes that you can't comprehend, that you can't get your head around, that you can't buy your way out of it, think your way out of it, even pray your way out of it? You simply have to just go, what do I do? What do I do? What are we going to do in those moments? And this is what I want us to think about today. So David gets himself to this point in his life. He's got this crew, he's got these men, and they go off to war. They go off to battle day after day, day after day. But this day, they come back to Ziklag, their home, their place of refuge, the place where they've been rejected, but they're still following God. They're still thinking about the things of God, and David's still after God's heart. But David comes back, and his men come back, and what has happened now is that another enemy has come in, and they've burnt all their buildings. They've burnt the village to the ground, and they're tasting defeat. And the guys are angry. And not only have they burnt the outside stuff, but now they've taken their women and their children. They've taken everything away that was precious to them, and they've ransacked everything. And it feels, and it is, and it's a terrible place, and they're in incredible defeat. What are you going to do? This is what 1 Samuel 30, verse 6 says. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Now, come on, stoning him. This is his crew. They all grew up together over his last few years. They were winning together. This is their first defeat, really. And now suddenly the men have turned so much, they're going to stone him. Now, I hope no matter what team you have led, no matter what team you've been in, maybe you've been the leader, maybe not, but I hope you've never thought about stoning your leader. Please, please tell me you haven't. I don't want any stonings. And please tell me that you've never experienced this, because this is just beyond belief. But they find themselves given the circumstance that anything's possible, because the unthinkable has happened. Their village has been burnt to the ground and all their families have been taken. This is an horrendous picture. The men talk about stoning David. Each one of them was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters, because they'd lost them. But look what happens next. But David finds strength in the Lord. David found his strength in God. Can I make a quick note here? Can I tell you that he wasn't learning this at this moment? He'd already learned this years ago. He'd already found this years ago. Can I tell you that it's too late to learn it whenever you're in the battle, whenever you're in the kind of unthinkable situation, when you're in that, oh my goodness, Ziklag moment? It's too late. It's too late. He's already learned it. He has learned how to strengthen himself in the Lord way back when he was 16, 17, when he was just a young boy looking after his father's sheep, when he's reading and praying and worshiping and making up psalms and singing psalms. He has strengthened himself in the Lord, and he's learned this time after time after time. So when the unthinkable happened, he just did what he always did. I get before the Lord. I follow my heart. I go to where my heart's desire. I go before the Lord. I strengthen myself in the things of God. I believe as God equips us and gets us strong for the days ahead, we're going to need to know how to equip ourselves and how to strengthen ourselves in the things of God alone. How are you doing with that today? How are you doing with strengthening yourself in the things of God? If you cannot learn that, how to do that by yourself, then you're going to be caught out when the heat gets really put on, when the unthinkable happens, when disaster comes. But if we learn this in these days, then we'll prepare ourselves for the next days. When bad things do happen, when it doesn't work out the way we think, when really the unthinkable did happen. And I don't have time today, but I could tell you testimony after testimony of people that I've known, and even times in my life. And unless I knew this, I wouldn't have made it quite as well out of it. I encourage you, this is such an important thing for us to learn today, to learn to strengthen your heart, to learn to strengthen your heart before God alone. So when the battle comes, you can stay strong with him. Their houses were burned. Their wives and kids have been taken. But what does David do? He doesn't do what the rest of them do. He crawls before God. He comes before God, because that's what he had taught himself. That's what he taught himself in the good times. So when the bad times come, he just did it automatically. This is God's heart for us today. And this is what he wants us to know. David had already learned this. He'd already strengthened himself in God. This was an automatic thing. He had learned this in the good times, so it was there for him in the bad times. This is what we've got to learn for our hearts today. And then the final thing as we finish, just to take a couple of things away from the life of David. The greatness of his actions versus the greatness of his heart. You see, the way that David grew up was very different to the way most others would have grown up at that time. It was more about the greatness of your actions. It was more about your outward expression rather than your inward expression. Now, years have gone by. We're in the New Testament. We know the Holy Spirit. We know God. Now we realize much more. It's so important what's going on the inside, even more so than what's going on the outside, because the inside will dictate the outside. You can't fake it. It's just whatever's in the heart does come out. But back in these days, when David strengthened himself in the Lord, this is very different. This is how the Holy Spirit taught him. This is how God guided him. And I want to tell you today, this is what we need to learn. You can get consumed with doing great things, or you can get consumed with following after his heart. Trust me, if you get consumed with following after his heart, you'll do great things. But if you do it the other way around, you could find yourself doing great things, but whenever the bad comes or the unthinkable happens, you could find your heart torn in two. And then who do you turn to? It's too late to try and find God at those moments. You can find him, but he's very difficult to find because of just the pain that you're facing and because of what happens in your brain, and you start thinking all things, all sorts of things. And before you know it, you start to blame God instead of realizing that God is who you need. David didn't get consumed with the great actions. He got consumed by a great God. He got consumed in his heart by, I want to follow after the things of God. And so the couple of things that I'm thinking about as we finish is, David was more concerned with the praises towards God than he was about praises coming to himself. He was much more concerned with the praises that he was giving God, his worship, his adoration, his pouring out his heart. He was so much more consumed with that than he was by the devotion of others. And how do you know about that in your life? Because I guess we'll all probably go, of course, of course, of course. Well, we'll know it by where we devote our times. And I've got to encourage you in this season where we find ourselves in lockdown, we've got to find time to do that before God. We've got to find this time. We've got to create it. We've got to manage our time better. We've got to find it. We've got to bring it out. We've got to do it because we need this. There are days coming where we're going to need this. Maybe you find yourself even in these days that I'm praying for you today, that you will find them quickly and he will strengthen your heart fast. Again, another reason why we need to be intertwined, because even as one tree would fail, we can sustain that tree to get it back to full health. Even as one person would fail, we can sustain that person to get them back to full health, because we are always better together. We are not in the business of cutting people out. We're in the business of joining people in. The family of God must increase, not decrease. Amen. That's God's spirit. Second thing and last thing, David learned through the lion and the bear to totally rely on God in victory. You see, what David learned 15 odd years ago or 10 years ago was what stood him well that day. It wasn't what he knew in that moment. It's what he learned 10 years ago. It's what he learned on his knees before God. It's what he learned way years ago when he's looking after his father's sheep, and the lion comes out and the bear comes out, and he thought to himself, oh, I know this situation. I know what happens here. If I trust in God, he will bring me through. Do you know what happens next in the story? David gets before God. He gets himself strengthened, and then God gives him a plan. And he goes before his men and he says, the men, I know that you're not happy. I know that you want to stone me. I know you think we've lost all. But God's told me. And this is what he says. God's told me. If we're in tune with God, if we know how to strengthen ourselves in God, then he will tell us things that will sustain us for the next season when the unthinkable happens. So he turns around to his men and he says, God has told me we're to go after those guys. We're going to recover all. We're going to defeat them. And we're going to bring everything back safe and sound. That's exactly what they did. And guess what? A few days later, David rode into Israel to become king. He became king. You see, David was under a severe test that day, but he passed it because of what he had learned years ago. He had learned to strengthen himself in the Lord. That is my encouragement for us as we get into this next season. That's my encouragement for us as we get into these next few weeks and things are ever unfolded. We must encourage ourselves. We must learn. We must know how to encourage ourselves into the things of God. Amen. God is calling us. He is equipping us. Over this next few weeks, we're going to get ourselves stronger and stronger like never before. So when we do get to meet physically, we're going to be like those redwoods. We're going to be unstoppable. And you're going to have to rip the whole earth apart to get us apart, because we are here to make a difference in love. Guys, we're going to pray. I want us to pray. I want to pray today. Maybe you find yourself and you're like, wow, I love what you're talking about, but I have just no grid for this. I don't even know what this God thinks about. I want to pray for you because Jesus died for you. Did you know that over 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on a cross for you? And he says today that he has taken away your sins. He's already sorted that out. He's already laid down his life for you. And because of his precious blood, he has washed you white as snow. But for you to avail of that, for you to get that for you, you've got to say yes to Jesus. And so we're going to pray in a moment for that. But I also want to pray for us as believers, as the body of God. We've been separated for too long. I know we come together every Sunday, but you know what I'm saying. I'm talking about a deep connection where we are totally reliant on each other in the right sense, where we're totally connected in the things of God. And I need you to do your part, and I need to do my part, and together we're going to do the things of God. Not that attitude of, I'll be safer to do it myself, or I can only do things well if I do it between me and God. No. God's going to bring us past that point to bring us to a new place, to a new season, because he is coming back for a beautiful bride, and I want to be part of it, and I want to encourage you to be part of it as well. Not just a bride, but a beautiful one. Not just a church member, but a thriving church member, a one who is active in doing great things in the body. Amen? So let's pray.